to Proverbs chapter 17, please. Proverbs chapter 17. So note about the discipleship course. For those that are taking the discipleship course, and if you haven't already gone through the material and have written the little quiz that goes with it, I'd encourage you to do so. I know some of you have paper copies, and in that case, you can write down the answers on paper and email it to me or scan it to me, whatever. Or if you want, for those that have email accounts, you can do it online, and some have already done that. So encourage you to do that, and then we'll go into the next lesson this coming week. We'll try to do it as a group at the same pace if possible, and recognizing that sometimes things will happen and you won't be able to do a certain week. So but you can, there's always, it's not too hard to catch up. Okay, so Proverbs chapter 17, please. Proverbs chapter 17. If you find your place, we'll stand for the reading of God's Word. We'll read verses 10 through 12, please. Verses 10 through 12. A reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. An evil man seeketh only rebellion. Therefore a cruel messenger shall be sent against him. Let a bear robbed of her whelps meet a man rather than a fool in his folly. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you as we look at this area of rebellion again. We pray that you would help us never to rebel against you, never to rebel against our parents, never to rebel against the authorities that you've rightfully placed over us, whether it be magistrates, whether it be our boss. Lord, of course, recognizing that it is better to obey God rather than men. In certain cases, if we are called to do something immoral, unbiblical, that goes against your word, goes against ethics and true holiness. But we pray that when we are supposed to be in obedience, that we would. Lord, help us to see the error, the grievous error of rebellion. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I think you may be seated. Gotta get myself situated here. Okay. Now we had some technical issues these last little while here, but I think I got her sorted out. Just needs to do an upgrade. Okay. So we've looked at how rebellion is against God, ultimately. Rebellion is forbidden. It provokes God. It provokes Christ. It vexes the Holy Spirit. It's exhibited in unbelief. And in some cases, we saw how it rejected God's government when they had the theocracy. We saw the example of how they revolted against God. They despised his law. They despised his counsels. They distrusted his power. We looked at Zedekiah and how he didn't trust God's hand of protection. And so he sent messengers to Egypt looking for help. And we don't go to the world when we're in dire situations. We go to the Lord. Looked at how another way it's exhibited is murmuring against the Lord. And in some cases, murmuring against those that he's appointed over us. We have the example in several times over in the Mosaic, the books of Moses there, where the Israelites murmured against Moses or murmured against Aaron. Ultimately, they're murmuring against the Lord. But they were murmuring against those that he had placed over them. And that's where we have to, Also, we got to be careful about murmuring against those that the Lord has put temporarily in this world over us, whether, you know, a boss, a supervisor, a manager. I mean, there's certainly cases where there's a real problem and we have to deal with it. But we have to deal with it appropriately, not just murmuring behind someone's back, but we go straight to the source and we deal it with the right attitude. We saw that rebellion is exhibited from departing from God. And you see that quite often, even in Christians, where they're zealous, they're excited about God, and then they depart from the Lord. You start to see a cooling off towards the Lord and His Word. And that happens with children, with their parents. And that's something that we encourage every child to never do, to cool off towards their parents, not to depart from them. Departing from His precepts is another way it's exhibited. Sinning against the light. Let's take a look at some of the... One last one. We might have looked at last week, but I just want to look at it again. Isaiah 65:2 is walking after our own thoughts. I was having a chapel service this last Thursday, and it wasn't actually so much of a chapel service; it was more of a informal Bible study, and we allow for questions and answers. And this one man, I can't even remember what his question was, but he made a supposition, I said chapter and verse. Where do you find that? Give me the chapter and verse where you find that in Scripture. Well, I'm not that knowledgeable about the Bible, but this is what I believe. Walking in our own thoughts. Where we get our own, construct our own thoughts, and then in some cases, some of them will start looking to, there must be proof of what I believe. You know? Instead, get grounded on the Word, and then model our thoughts after the Word of God. Isaiah 65, verses 1 and 2. I sought of them that asked not for me. I'm found of them that sought me not. I said, Behold me, unto a nation that was not called by my name. I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people, which walked in a way that was not good after their own thoughts. God even, you know, He spreads His hands out to them, like the father of the prodigal son, who was willing to receive his prodigal son back. He spreads his hands out to them. But you notice there that rebellion is one of the ways it's exhibited is walking after our own thoughts. Our thoughts have to be based on the Word of God. Not our own constructs. Not our own ideas. But after the Word of God, completely. I told that man, I said, you come back next week with chapter and verse for that. But, you know, it can't be just based on our own ideas. Okay, so some of the things that it's connected with. We looked at how it's exhibited. Some of the things it's connected with. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 27. Deuteronomy 31, verse 27. For I know thy rebellion and thy stiff neck. Behold, while I am yet alive with thee this day, ye have been rebellious against the Lord. And how much more after my death? Of course, this is Moses speaking here. He's He's giving them some final thoughts, some blessings. If you follow the Lord, God will bless you. Some curses. If you leave the Lord, God will bring upon the plagues on you. He talks about here about being stiff-necked. What does that mean to be a stiff-necked? I get a stiff neck every now and again. I've got to stretch it out. But this is, you think about a horse, and you're riding a horse, and you go to turn the horse, and the horse just keeps its head staying straight. But you want to turn the horse that way or that way. But that horse goes straight ahead. That's a stiff neck. And God wants to lead us, each one of us, to guide us, direct us, to direct our steps. He doesn't want a stiff neck. And, you know, when we had horses, we had two horses, and in particular, the younger ones, we had two younger ones aside from those, but the two older horses, they were prone to have stiff necks. And not a physical disease, but a disease of the heart. With my mare, her stiff neck usually was because of fear. And sometimes our stiff neck is because of fear. In some cases, I mean, she was a fast horse. She had been a racehorse at one point. And I got her after she had come off the track. So she could really run. But there were things about her that she would spook at. There'd be a puddle of water in the middle of the road. And she would not want to go by it. You know, you try to go one way you'd be trying to pull her head one way and she'd be going this way and going that way to not go through the puddle. And I just kept on her until she went through the puddle to break her of her fear of going through water. Just a puddle of water. And then my sister had a horse and his name was Levi, and he was a nice horse in many respects. He's a beautiful horse, sorrel, white blaze, and a quarter thoroughbred and three quarters quarter horse, a big stocky horse. But he was lazy, and you know, if he sometimes he just didn't want to go places. He wanted to stay close to the other horses, and you know, you start to turn his head, and he would, you know, run like this. I've given this illustration before, and there's times when he would run right into trees, run right into a fence, you know, doing this. Stiff-necked, stubbornness. We can compare this with that familiar passage from 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22, where Samuel is judging Saul for his sin when he did not go against the Amalekites the way he was supposed to and took the spoil and brought back King Agag. We've looked at this already, but we're going to look at it from a bit of a different light. So 1 Samuel 15, 22 and 23. And Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delights in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft." We looked at that part last time. And that is a shocking statement. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. We're serving Satan when we rebel. But now let's take a look at the next statement. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Iniquity and idolatry. Sin. And idolatry. Idolatry, when we set up an idol that's something greater than God in our life. Now I'm just going to give you the definition here. Just give me 1 minute of the word iniquity. Okay, so. Iniquity, meaning to exert oneself, usually in vain, to come to naught, strictly nothingness. Also trouble, vanity, wickedness, specifically an idol, affliction, evil, false, mischief, sorrow, unjust, unrighteous. So we see what some of the aspects of what iniquity is. Stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. God does not want stubbornness. He doesn't want a heart that is stubborn toward him. And furthermore, we are not to have a stubborn heart towards those in authority amongst us, parents, co-workers, or supervisors, managers, government, magistrates, spiritual leaders. Now, another connection with rebellion is injustice and corruption. Take a look at Isaiah. Injustice and corruption. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 23. And one of the things you'll notice so often in Scripture is God hates injustice, particularly against the vulnerable, against the widows, against the fatherless. He hates that. And rebellion is often connected with injustice and corruption. So Isaiah chapter 1, verse 23, "Thy princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Everyone loveth gifts and followeth after rewards. They judge not the fatherless, neither doth the cause of the widow come unto them." Notice they're companions of thieves. They love gifts. And this loving gifts is usually connected with gifts that pervert justice, bribes. And I mean, I would have thought that by now, in our day and age, that we have so many safeguards in place. You would have thought that bribery would be a thing of the past. Not from a moral perspective. We're not getting better morally. But just there's so much awareness about bribery. There's so much these safeguards. And culturally, it's unacceptable. But it still happens. It happens a great deal. You see it in sports quite often. Coupled with rebellion is injustice, corruption. God hates that. Take a look at Psalms chapter 107, verse 11. Psalms 107, verse 11. I believe there was someone recently that in our area here, read a news report on Infotel recently, Infotel News. Somebody was recently convicted with contempt of court. And that can be a number of different things that they might do. They might be standing and yelling in the courthouse just completely disregarding the judge. They might also be in case of perjury where they lie under oath. But here we see that rebellion is connected with contempt of God. Psalms 107, verse 11. "Because they have rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High." They have contemned the counsel of the Most High. What does that word contemned mean? It means to abhor, to blaspheme, to despise, to provoke. So when a person rebels against God, they abhor God. They abhor his edicts, his counsels. They blaspheme him. They despise him. They provoke him. Well, we see that, you can turn to Romans chapter 7. We see that another thing it's connected with is that men are prone to rebellion. What does the scripture say about, you think in John where Jesus said that men were lovers of darkness rather than lovers of the light? Rebellion is definitely spiritual darkness. We read already from Deuteronomy 31:27, which says, "For I know thy rebellion and thy stiff neck. Behold, while I am yet alive with you this day, ye have been rebellious against the Lord, and how much more after my death?" Moses there, he's basically saying, you are prone to it. You've done it so much while I've been alive. How much more are you going to do it when I'm gone? They're prone to it. Romans chapter 7, verses 14 through 18. Now here the Apostle Paul speaks about the inner battle that's happening in him. So Romans 7:14, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. But that which I do I allow not, for what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing." So often people want to believe their heart is good. And you know what Jeremiah 17:9 says about the heart. And a person might say, "Well, but I'm saved now." This is the Apostle Paul speaking as a believer. "That in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not." So he talks about the war of in his members, the battle. We are prone to rebellion. Take a look at Matthew chapter 15, verse 18. Matthew 15, 18. The heart is the seat of rebellion. I mean, the heart can be a great tool. The Lord can wash away these things. It will never be perfect in this life. But it is still a sinful heart. Take a look at Matthew 15, verse 18. Well, let's back up here. So we've got the Pharisees at the beginning of the chapter, verse 1 and 2, coming to Jesus, asking him in verse 2 why the disciples transgressed the tradition of the elders. "For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." And, you know, this is one of those things where they had added so many things to the Mosaic Law. And they're just so careful and so fastidious, and they made it part of the law itself. And so then Jesus uses this as an opportunity to teach them a deeper truth. In verse 8, he says verse 7, he says that they're hypocrites. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, and their heart is far from me." And so then he drops down and later and says, you know, it's not the what comes in. You don't have to worry so much about what comes in. Of course, I am sure that the Lord was a clean person, but he didn't observe these traditions that they had. And I think it was more for it to be so that he could use it as an object lesson. So he goes on to say it's not what comes in. And so verse 17, he says, "Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth into the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out in the draught? But those things," verse 18, "which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. The heart is the seat of rebellion. Now, it can be the seat of obedience, but that's where it comes. And that's where we have to constantly be grooming and cleaning our heart. It's like a person that maybe has a home, and maybe they have a problem with an infestation of mice or infestation of ants, or they have a reoccurring problem with water getting in places where it shouldn't. They're constantly checking, looking for evidence of that problem. And when it comes to the believer, we're supposed to be constantly checking, constantly looking. You know, as I mentioned earlier, I've got my saltwater fish tank. You know, I picked up a little $6 little device at Home Depot that I've got behind my fish tank. And if any water leaks out of my fish tank, that thing howls. And it's gone off once. It's a one-time use only, but I'm too smart for Home Depot. I put it back together. But I dried it out first. But, you know, for a believer, we need to have these little safeguards that we put into place. We can never get to the place where we say, oh, yes, well, I'm a sound Christian. I've been saved for 420 years, and, you know, I don't have to worry about that anymore. Boy, you know, my heart is just so good, it's so clean. Maybe many years ago, yes. But no, every believer, to the day we die, we got to look for corruption, look for rebellion in the secret places, get the flashlight out. Look for it. The heart is the seat of rebellion. It's hypocrisy to hide rebellion. Hosea 7:14 says, "And they have not cried unto me with their heart. When they howled upon their beds, they assemble themselves for corn and wine. They rebel against me." It's hypocrisy. Same as that verse that we looked at earlier, that with their mouth they draw nigh unto me, but with their hearts they're far from me. That's hypocrisy. God's not interested in our outward actions. These Pharisees are also consumed with washing their hands before they took part of the meal, and yet there's weightier things that they were leaving undone. Okay, well, let's be encouraged to always be in obedience to God and His word, His precepts, His counsels, those that He puts in authority above us, that we would follow them as they follow Christ. Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, we come before you and we pray that you'd help us never to have a spirit of rebellion. And Lord, if we do rebel, Lord, that we would quickly come to you and that we would repent of it, turn away from it. Lord, we pray that we would not trust our heart. Lord, there is no good thing in it, as the Apostle Paul said there in Romans. Lord, we pray that each of the children here would be obedient to their parents, that they would give their heart to their parents. Lord, that they would trust them, they would be obedient to them, Lord, that they would never think that they know better. We ask that you be with us as we go into our morning worship service, that you would speak to our hearts and lift up our hearts as we sing songs of praise and worship to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.